Here you see some towels. You see a pitcher for water, a basin, a few basic simple props. And I can bring you up to speed in those props really quickly. Based on a story from the Gospel of John chapter 13. We'll get there in just a moment. First, let's bow and pray, please. Father God, we ask that your Spirit would touch us this morning, and I pray that your Spirit would do what in a human power we cannot do. Would you take some meager words and meager efforts and do something profoundly important in every person's life? This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus is going to use a towel to teach a very profound lesson. Here's the scripture from John 13. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And that's a fascinating phrase to me, that what Jesus is about to do shows the full extent of his love. Now, the evening meal was being served. Please do not pass over that little detail. I'm going to come back to it in just a moment. The food's already been served. It's in the process of being served. And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and he was returning to God. So Jesus gets up from the meal. He takes off his outer clothing. He wraps a towel around his waist. And after that, he pours water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, in those days, in first century days, in the time of Jesus, people obviously, they walked everywhere they went, and they wore sandals, and whenever you would go to a dinner party, there would be some hourly worker, some servant-type person, you know, the foot washer guy, who would be hired to wash feet, because, you know, you come in for the dinner party, and that day they didn't sit at a table with their feet under the table. They would recline at a table. And so your feet would sort of be in my face and my feet would sort of be in your face. And you don't want dirty, grimy feet, you know, in the middle of your enchiladas and fajitas. And so, you know, there would be a foot washer guy as you would come in, and the foot washer guy would take a pitcher and a small basin and a towel, and for every person who was there at the dinner party would wash his or her feet. Well, Jesus is at a little dinner party with his closest friends. The friends are there first. And tragedy of all tragedies, there's no foot washer guy. What happened to the foot washer guy? Perhaps it's an administrative oversight, but there's no foot washer guy. And you can just see the disciples standing around going, well, I'm not doing this. I'm not lowering myself. I'm not washing feet. I would rather your grimy feet, I would rather your unwashed feet be in my face for 3 hours than for me to humble myself and take on the role. What do you think I am, a slave? And so Jesus gets up. He pours the water. Remember I told you to pay attention to that little phrase a moment ago, the meal's being served? I mean, so this kind of awkwardness, this sort of standoffishness where I'm not bending, I'm not serving, I'm not humbling myself. And so you got this little awkward standoff going. And finally, Jesus gets up. He pours the water and he goes around and Jesus starts washing the feet of his friends, of his disciples. I imagine the place became so quiet because Jesus was willing to do for them what they were too proud to do for one another. And then after Jesus had done this, He says these words, starting verse 12 in John chapter 13. He says, When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. And now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. And I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And I tell you the truth that no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus, unapologetically and with no ambiguity whatsoever, calls every single one of his followers to daily, regular, consistent acts of kindness and servanthood. Whatever foot washing looks like in our day, he says, do that. Great opportunities to serve me come along very seldom, he's saying, but little opportunities to serve me with great love happen every single day. And he says, and I want this to be a distinctive characteristic of any of my followers, that you would be willing to do what proud, stubborn, self-absorbed people are unwilling to do. I'm asking you to live beyond yourself. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to just live beyond yourself. He says, I'm asking you to live beyond, you know, your concerns and your desires and your protective turf. I'm asking every one of my followers to embrace the value of the towel. You ever heard of a book called Blue Light Jazz, written by Donald Miller? Fascinating book, Blue Light Jazz. In that book, Donald Miller talks about the most oppressive lie that he ever had to face. He said he believed this lie for a long time, and when he finally had to face it, it really did a number on him. And here's the lie. He said, the lie that I believed for a long time was that life is a story about me. And he talks about going to a friend of his. And he really admired this friend because this friend had a very humble heart, a kind spirit. But he went to him one day and he said, I got to tell you, sometimes I think a lot of people take advantage of your kindness. They were at breakfast and his friend was drinking a cup of coffee. And his friend sat down his coffee, looked Miller right in the eye and said, Don, if we're not willing to get up every morning and die to ourselves and to our own egos, then maybe we need to ask whether or not we're really following Jesus. Back to the towel story. Jesus says, without apology, I'm asking you to do what proud people are just not willing to do. And if foot washing is not beneath me, I hope it's not beneath you. And I'm asking you, says Jesus, to walk into every room. Every room in which you enter, walk into it looking for a simple act of kindness that you can do. And he says, and if you'll do that, you'll be blessed. Look at verse 17. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. There's going to be something supernatural poured out in and around your life. Now here's the question of the hour. The question is, you really buy this? You really believe this? You really think the value of the towel is something that's worth embracing? And if so, it will actually bless and benefit your life. You know, we just finished singing a song a minute ago, which it's a song based on the most repeated phrase in all the Bible. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. That God is the ultimate do-gooder. And if you had to give a simple, generic job description of a Christian, it would be that we simply go around looking for good things to do. In the book of Titus, here's what the Bible has to say. Remind the people to be ready to do whatever is good. And those who have trusted in God, let them be careful to devote themselves to doing whatever is good. And our people must learn to devote themselves to doing whatever is good. Now, I want you to notice the repeated words up here. The word good, of course, is repeated. But here's another word that's repeated. It's the word do or doing. And let me tell you why that's significant. There are times when I almost feel like I deserve a marching band simply because I didn't do any damage. Hey, I didn't say anything stupid. I didn't do any damage. I didn't take revenge. Therefore, you know, let heaven's marching band celebrate me. The Lord said, it's good that you didn't do any damage, but I'm asking you to embrace the towel. I'm asking you to do good and to let there flow from your life and heart the kindness of Jesus, where you walk in a room and whatever foot washing looks like. And remember, Jesus in the room, He's the smartest guy in the room. How do you handle it when you're the smartest guy in the room? How do you handle it when you're the richest person in the room? How do you handle it when you're the person in the room with the most clout? Jesus, with the most clout, says, foot washing's not above me. And the Bible says, let there flow from you this incredible willingness to do good. Now, let me ask some questions, and as we kind of go through this, and here's the very first question. Why? I mean, do good, why? And here's the reason. Because it's God's destiny for your life. You see, one of God's greatest delights is doing good. He just loves to do good. And not only does He do good to you, He does good through you. And nowadays, as God wants to pour out boatloads of goodness into the world, His plan is to do so much of it through you and through me. Let's look at a scripture here from Ephesians chapter 2, which talks about the goodness of God and how doing good is even His destiny for you and me. From Ephesians 2, the Bible says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith." And that's a wonderful thing, that God takes care of our greatest need, which is forgiveness and a relationship with Him. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, and it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But then He says, verse 10, for we're God's workmanship. We're God's masterpiece creation. And it's a strange thing, if you will, that an ordinary believer, if there is such a thing, an ordinary church, if there is such a thing, is God's masterpiece, God's workmanship, and that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, you're the hands of Christ. You're the voice of Jesus. You're the feet of Jesus. And so keep your eyes open, even for those little tasks, those small things. You know, a couple of weeks ago, God's heart was breaking for Haiti. And because of the way you responded, you could be the feet of Christ, the hands of Christ in that regard. And so I want to say it one more time. It's your destiny. The reason why God didn't just save you and immediately take you to heaven, it's your destiny to do good works and to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus right here. So do good. Why? It's your destiny. Do good where? Well, a couple of months ago, well, back in December, Martha and I were on a little trip, and we were in a community where we'd never been before. And it was just a little walkers community, and they had these signs all over the place, and we really appreciated them because, you know, it'd be a little sign, and you'd walk up, and it was a map of the entire area, and there would be a star. And then right beside the star would be these words, "You are here." And I love those kind of maps. And, you know, and we'd be right here. You're here. And then we'd walk a couple of streets over and maybe lose our bearings a little bit. And there'd be another map with another star. And it would say the same thing. You are here. Now, we were in different places, but we were still here. And I think if Jesus were teaching us this morning, if we were to say, "Lord, where should we do good?" He would say, "Well, where are you?" And you'd say, "Well, I'm here." You say, "Well, you do good right there." Anywhere. And I got to tell you, this is much more profound than what you think. Because how many people do you know who have the idea that it's particularly incumbent upon them to display goodness in one particular kind of environment? But once I leave that environment, not so much. But Jesus would say, whatever room you walk in, just do good there. Whatever environment in which you find yourself, put on your towel and do good there. For example, in just a little while when you go home, do good there. Do some simple acts of kindness in your home, in your family. Do it for your mate. Do it for your spouse. Do it for your children. Do it for your parents. In your neighborhood, do some simple acts of kindness for your neighbors. And when you get up tomorrow morning to go to work, please don't take a nasty pill. And then, well, you know, yesterday I had on my church clothes. It's incumbent upon me to do good in like religious settings, but I'm going to work. And no, no. When you go to work, don't take a nasty pill. Take your towel with you. And see if there aren't some simple acts of kindness that you can do there. And when you come to church, you've got spiritual gifts. Use those spiritual gifts to do good and to say good words and to allow your voice to be the voice of Christ and to represent Him well. So do good. Why? Well, it's God's destiny for you. He's doing good through you. Do good where? Anywhere you find yourself. And you say, "Well, my goodness, I'm in so many places and there are so many needs." Never let the good that you cannot do interfere with the good you can do in simple, practical ways. Do good. How? How do you do those good things? Answer, as God leads you. Because one of the wonderful things of Christianity is this mystical, leading, guiding presence of God through the Holy Spirit, where if we're people of prayer, if we're open, we're saying, "God, open my eyes. Make me your instrument. Let me see those opportunities." And all throughout the course of the day, God's going to nudge you and He's going to push you. And those small acts of kindness are huge when you are the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus. Great opportunities to serve Him come along very seldom, but small opportunities to serve Him with great love come along every single day. Do good. Why? It's God's destiny for you. Do good where? Anywhere. You're here. You're in the place of doing good. Do good how? As you're open and attentive to the nudgings and the leadings of God. And do good, the result, you will be blessed. We started out this little story by looking at the towel wearing of Jesus. And Jesus concluded his example by saying in verse 17, "Now, if you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus makes an across-the-board, blanket, no-exception statement that those who live beyond themselves will become the recipients of God's sovereign favor, and something supernatural will be released in your life and around your life. Something good will come your way. But here's the question. Are you ready to take up this value? Are you ready to take up this value of the towel? Simple acts of kindness done with humility. Even when you're the smartest person in the room. You know, it all starts with one. I read a story a few years ago about an older man who was walking on a beach. And up ahead of him, he sees a young man. And the young man is picking up starfish. And he's taking these starfish that he'll pick up and he's flinging them back into the ocean. Well, the old man catches up with the younger man and he says, "You know, what are you doing?" And the young guy's answer is that the starfish were stranded and that they would die if left in the morning sun, and so they needed to be returned to the ocean. And the older man said, "This beach goes on for miles. There are thousands upon thousands of starfish out here. And your effort will make absolutely no difference." And without breaking stride, that young man picked up another starfish, flicked it back into the ocean, and said very simply, "It made a difference to that one." What can you do that will make a difference to that someone? Never let the good that you cannot do interfere with the good you can do. You know, today's Super Bowl Sunday. And by the way, who are you pulling for? I think most of the believers said Colts. I think that's an excellent, excellent answer. Have you seen the movie Blindside? Great movie. I mean, great movie. The story of Michael Orr, who, you know, played college football for Ole Miss, and now he's plays for the Baltimore Ravens. Had an excellent rookie season. But his story of how he was basically adopted by the Tui family in Memphis. And as the movie goes on and it celebrates, you know, their hospitality, their investment in his life. You know, some of the hardball issues that they actually deal with later in the movie. Well, it's like, well, what about all the other kids? What about all the other, what about all the other young men? What about all the other young ladies? There are other people who need help. But basically, it came down to this. Never let the good you can't do interfere with the good you can do. And it's always easy for me to step back and throw a rock at the people like the Tui family and say, "Well, yeah, but what about all the..." It made a difference to that one. A few years ago, some American soldiers were returning from Iraq. They got a surprise. There were 12 soldiers scheduled to be on, well, the last leg of their return trip. They were on flight 866 from Atlanta to Chicago. It was an American Airlines flight. There were, I think I said 12 soldiers. And as they boarded the flight, there was a gentleman who was seated in first class. There were 14 first class seats. They were all filled, 14 first class passengers. And when the first soldier walked in, one gentleman stood up and he said, "Young man, excuse me, but what's your seat number?" And he said, "It's 22E. And he said, "No, it's not. You're sitting right here." and I'm taking 22E. And he looks at the flight attendant and he said, it's good, right? She said, sure, fine. And so he switches. And what happened was a domino effect started. A simple act of kindness. A domino effect started. And then somebody else stood up and said, young man, where are you sitting? Well, I'm in, no, you're not. You're sitting here. And then the next one. And the next one. And all 12 soldiers then were sitting in first class. And there were two remaining first class passengers who kept going, you know, is there another soldier around? I'm looking for somebody to give up this seat. The flight attendant said it was the most incredible flight she'd ever been on. It just had a different atmosphere. The environment was different. The plane smelled differently. The food tasted differently. Because it all started with one person who was in first class. And you say, well, there are so many other things. What's so heroic about? At a simple little dinner party, Jesus put on a towel and he cleaned between the toes. And he started a domino effect saying, I want everybody who would follow me to embrace this ethic and be willing to do what proud, stubborn, self-absorbed people are not willing to do. And if you'll do that, you're going to be blessed in ways that you will never predict. But trust me, the blessing of God will come upon your life. And my friend, every act of kindness we do, you can trace it back to the hand and heart of God who was so good and kind to us. Do good, why? It's God's destiny for you. Do good where? You are here in the place to do good. Do good how? As you listen and open your eyes to what God has before you today. And do good, why? Because in and around your life will come the supernatural blessing of God. Okay. I'd like to lead us in a prayer. And we're going to conclude our service here in just a moment. You have in your order of worship a communication card. Why don't you take out your order of worship and take out that communication card, please. And let me ask everybody, please, to fill that out if you'd like. Our members here, our regular attenders, our guests, if you'd like to do so. And on that card, there are a number of things that you can communicate with us. But perhaps one of the most important things is that if you have a prayer request, either for you or someone you know, in the space provided, if you would just jot down that prayer request, and then once you finish filling out that card, just take it and pass it to the ends of your row, and those cards will be collected here in just a second. Okay? I'm going to pray over us, and if you need some more time to fill out that card, you take your time. Let's bow and let's pray. Lord God, we're grateful for the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ, who lived the kind of life at which we marvel. Jesus saves us from our sins, and he also saves us from a boring life. And he calls us to a life of meaning, even in simple acts of kindness. Lord, we're glad that you designed a path that we can go down where every night we can put our head on a pillow and say, today was a good day. I served, I helped, I was kind. I even humbled myself in a way that I resisted, but good things came from it. Lord, move us in that direction. Move us in the direction of towel bearing. And Lord God, I want to thank you for the way you extend kindness to us. And I pray that this morning your Holy Scripture would come alive, that it would pierce our hearts, that it would encourage us where we need to be encouraged, that it would stretch us where we need to be stretched. And I pray that we'll leave this room today unleashing incredible good in our world, even through simple acts of kindness wherever we are, on the work, in a workplace, in a restaurant, at home, and right here. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that any kindness or goodness in this world is ultimately traced back to you. It's just a reflection of exactly who you are, a God of love, compassion, mercy, and grace. And you have set us free for you to do good works through us. Lord, what a privilege. I ask that your touch and blessing would be upon every person here today. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.